There you go.
Yep.
Good morning. I'd like to call the special meeting of the Temporary Bonding Committee to order. It is Thursday, July 31st, 2025. It is 10 a.m. and we are meeting at the Canton Town Hall. Present are myself, William Volosky, Katie Kenny, Russell Bush, and Finance Officer Zoe Peek. Do we have any public comment? We have no one here from the public, so we're going to skip right over public comment. And would somebody like to make a motion to approve the July 17th draft meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second?
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
And the minutes are approved. Next item on our agenda is discuss and possibly take action on the debt funding policy. So I was away this past week, so I don't know. Katie, maybe give us an update from where you guys are with the Board of Finance.
We did not hold the July meeting. We canceled our July meeting. Okay. So we have not made any further progress as a board. What I tried to do this week was to take what we talked about last time and what was in our emails from the past week and use a model from another town so that I wasn't making up new language and put it all together in this draft of a capital improvement plan policy.
Okay.
But I don't think I got everything. I wasn't getting the details.
Did you send me this already?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I was like, I didn't read this in advance. I felt like a delinquent here for a second.
I literally was working on it this morning. I was working on it yesterday, working on it this morning. So I will absolutely send everybody this draft, but I think we can actually make some more progress on it
today. Okay.
Because you had made really great points at the last meeting and in your email about kind of operationalizing this from the perspective of how, like, what kind of form we'd be sending out to departments, what should be on that in order to get the information we need back from departments and enter things into a CIEP plan.
Yeah.
And then, so I think that should all be in here.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't added the, you know, sort of what the composition of the CIP committee itself, which I just added in the parking lot.
Yep.
But I think this...
That's this first... It just got cut off on the copy.
Okay, yeah.
So that's composition.
So CIP committee will be composed of, you know, the following members. It will meet four times a year to review projects, identify grants, etc. And then shall update the CIP plan, the overall plan, once a year... In the fall, before the budget season starts. And that's where I think we could add, you know, maybe a sub paragraph to that, add the information about how that will happen in terms of collecting the information from departments.
Did you see this? I mean, I think you guys looked at this thing that Mark sent out.
Yeah.
So they have. I mean, I read it this morning. They had basically a form.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be more than happy to, like, look at this before our next meeting and tweak it if you want.
Yeah, just
with
say,
some ideas. Just email it back. You see, how does this look? I mean, basically, I think it's going to look very
similar.
That's
perfect. So then they could just have that, you know, kind of in our
Right. I think plan. The only thing that, in my brief looking at it this morning, the only thing that I would think would need to be added to it that we didn't. Or that we discussed is like, is it under 25, over 20, you know?
Right,
so
which of the four categories?
And then somebody, whoever, probably the person, the department head would probably make that decision as like a sign off on it.
Right, and I think the other thing is here, the four categories are sort of implicit in paragraph 3, but we should make them or paragraph two, whatever, somewhere in here in the beginning. Yep. They're kind of implicit, but I think we should make them more explicit by saying...
Yeah. So one, two, three, or four.
You know, one, two, three, four, under 25, you know, operational in the department.
Yep.
Over 25...
Can I see that?
Is this. Yep. And then, you know, what...
Did you get the cap? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, he sent it to me. Yeah.
Then very specifically, like, what kinds of purchases would be capital reserve purchases? So, you know, things with a life of at least 5 years, but under, you know, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Examples are fire trucks and major pieces of equipment, but they're not things that last more than 15 right. or 20 years. And I think we want...
Oh, yeah, that's a good clarification that you just added. Because I don't think we talked about that, but I think that makes the most sense.
Like, yeah.
A capital reserve has a definition of not really a capital, long-term capital bondable project, but...
Potentially, I guess that's something to think about or decide. I think you could put money away for something, and I think some places do put things in a capital reserve fund that can then be used for a full on, like, as an alternative to bonding, because there are towns that are saying bonding, we want bonding to be kind of our last resort, mm-hmm. right?
Pay for it if we can.
Pay for it if we can, either.
Well, the only thing. Three things I know that we do like a capital reserve for now is the future reconstruction of the field at the, mm-hmm. the high school, which we were doing, I think, $70,000 a year.
Yeah, 75.
Fire trucks,
yeah.
We were doing $200,000 mm-hmm. a year. Ambulance, we were doing, I think, $100,000 a year. Although they've kind of gone to a different model of ambulance now, which is somewhat cheaper, so...
Well, one of the other things that some of the towns do that we could consider, and I don't know if I still have this in here, is, you know, for some of those things there are leasing or lease-to-buy possibilities, and so that may, you know, one might want to have that in here as
right.
a category for something.
Well, wouldn't that be under, yeah, it would almost be like a capital reserve.
Yeah, it's similar
category,
to that.
Category, or could it? Yeah, it would be like a subset.
I mean, it's kind of, I mean, some of the, yeah.
Can it be, that would like fall under funding sources.
Yeah.
Can it be financed?
Right, right.
You know, if we're doing something like that for fire trucks and ambulances, I don't see any reason why we don't do that for like public works vehicles and equipment too.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
if we know a dump truck's going to be $250,000,
right.
let's say,
yeah.
you know, 75, 75, 75,
right.
you know,
exactly.
whatever number like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think those should be saved for in the same yeah. kind of way and planned for.
You know, it's an interesting, and this is kind of like ancient history here, but when the town used to get revenue sharing money from the federal government,
mm-hmm.
They were getting like $75,000 or $80,000 a year or something. They would buy a dump truck every year with that.
Mm-hmm.
So every 8 years, you'd have the fleet would turn over.
Right.
Right.
And just for some reason, I know we got away from that. And, you know, unfortunately, some years we buy a pickup truck, other years we buy this or that. But for a long time, we didn't buy any dump trucks. All our
right.
dump trucks were all falling apart.
For right.
Us all.
And I think this will help, like the 5-year plan
yeah.
will help.
And I like the other thing that we discussed last time at our last meeting also is that should be whatever things we put in a capital reserve should be like the base
that's
for the CIP or
I just yeah I just wrote that note down that the if we vote on something to go into a capital or vote mm-hmm. at the CIP meeting for something to go into capital reserve
yeah.
is locked in
yeah
and if
yeah,
and
now
if
that
it gets
may
funded
have to,
at a different
right,
time
right.
like say we saved up for I'll make it up, a fire truck, and then we got the fire truck, we didn't use capital reserve, then that capital, I would assume that would get reaccounted for somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Because our capital reserve
The capital reserve would stay as a fund.
Yep.
And
you would fund capital reserve with certain projects in mind, but when it starts getting like so specific, then you just start complicating everything.
Okay.
So say like every year we want to fund the capital reserve $100,000. then we can meet and discuss, okay, we have $300,000 in capital reserve. We need a dump truck. Let's buy the dump truck.
Well, but there's also, in the CIP, there will be a certain, like, dump truck and a time plan over the next X years where dump trucks need to be replaced. So we'll know in 2027 or whatever that that's a dump truck year, not a fire truck year. Right.
So on the capital reserve, like accounting, it'll have a total, say it's $1 million in capital reserves, but it won't say what we put them in for.
I think we would have that in the CIP plan. Right.
The division.
Like you wouldn't. I get what you're saying about the capital reserve fund is not going to be separate.
Another
accounts.
Separate CIP.
I think what you're saying is like it's not going to be.
We already have like a reserve fund.
Right. So we're just calling it something.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not making a different account than we already have.
Okay.
It's just naming it this, and it's setting the terms for what money goes into it, how much, and how we account for it at the other, like, as it's coming out.
Right. Or, and, like, I was thinking that in that capital, if we had $1 million, it'd be some kind of a ledger that's not, like, set in stone, wouldn't have to be in different accounts, but this is what the money was put in for. We've saved up $200,000 for the fire truck.
Right.
We've saved up $400,000 for the field, so that when we go to pull that money out, we know we saved $400,000 for the field, but it cost $450,000. We got to ask for the $50,000 from somewhere else.
Exactly.
So we don't end up with a capital reserve fund, and whatever came out first got paid for, and then there's nothing left.
Nothing
at
left
the end.
At the end. Even though we had been putting away for it.
Yeah, just a tracking sheet.
Yeah, that's what we mean. We want that actually accounted for,
so
going in and coming out, so that. And reported to Board of Finance and, you know, whatever. So that, exactly.
Right, because
so
we had an issue. We had an issue. I mean, the thing that made that, the reason I would, that's kind of a point for me, is like we had an issue with the field. Mm-hmm. We were putting money away for the field, right? And it was supposed to get, I'm making up numbers, it was supposed to get replaced every 10 years. We got to the 10th year and we had put in all 10, and then the next year, but the field wasn't ready to go. But nobody did like another real, they're like, oh, I think we got enough money in there. We're just not going to do it this year. We reduced it for something. Mm-hmm. But it didn't sit there poking out to you like, okay, we have $1 million. But that estimate was from 10 years ago that it was going to be $1 million.
Yeah.
So we should have been double checked that.
Right, and
with
that's
any of these
one of
capital
the
capital reserve items, you know, the department heads or whoever is going to oversee those projects really have to go back annually to look at that estimated cost.
Right, and I think that's one of the things. You know, when I say CIP shall update the CIP plan once a year, but earlier shall meet 4 times a year to review projects, ID grants, etc. I mean, I think that part of this has to be that, you know, the projects themselves are updated, that they have current estimates, cost estimates associated with them.
Even on the reserve ones.
Even
if it's a 5-year reserve project, every year that form should be updated.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem we got into with the fire trucks, putting money away for the fire trucks, because the inflation on fire engines has just been so crazy in the last 10 or 15 years and stuff that at one time putting $200,000 a year in there was about right.
Right.
And then now, you know, the only thing that's kind of good on the fire trucks, our fleet is really in pretty good shape right now. The next truck is like 4 or 5 years away from being replaced. And the trucks are lasting longer too, because we started going with better quality trucks. So we're, you know, a fire truck should last like 25 years realistically, based on our kind of usage. Yeah, as long as we keep updating every year.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna
the estimated cost.
I need to account for.
So then, say we put $100,000 a year away for like a dump truck that was estimated to not be usable in 4 years, but it's still going strong and it's looking good and we can keep it for another year or two. But then something comes along like the SCBAs where we need them immediately. Would we be able to use 300,000 of that reserve money that we put away for the dump truck to buy something that was more of an emergency? Or is the stuff in capital, that's what it's there for, and it's reserved, locked, strict?
I think it should be locked in for those projects. If you're putting it in there, you're locking it in, because like Bill was saying, we're like, that's the beginning of our capital reserve fund. If our capital reserve budget is the stuff that we've said this has to be accounted for now.
Right. Yeah, I'm just thinking, what other projects or what other type of things we would put in that capital reserve?
I mean, something like the air packs would have been a great thing to have saved up for in that way, right? Like that.
But like an emergency comes along, right, and we've got 500,000 in capital reserve, could be like,
one thing
it would
is
make
like,
sense.
Are we allowing the interest in the capital reserve fund to be reinvested in that fund? Or is that coming out?
We're putting the interest back in as part of the reserve.
Okay.
So interest that is
earned on
that account is put back in.
Just curious, and I wouldn't hold you to this number and everything, but how much interest do you think we make on the capital reserve every year?
Not a big amount.
No.
Maybe like 15,000-20,000, and that's the high end.
Okay.
On like as a percentage wise.
Well, it's in STIP, so we're getting like 4.8% interest.
Okay. Which I think is pretty good. You know, like from my. The reason capital reserve kind of bothers me long term is I don't like taking, as a taxpayer, taking my money and putting it into an account that's not making interest, and then holding on to it when I could make interest and then pay for it later, kind of deal.
Right.
But if you're looking at capital reserve projects, 4.8, if you're making
4.8,
that's no different than bonding it right now. You're paying for it. You're making the interest now instead of gaining some money, and hopefully accounting for some of the inflation costs.
Yeah.
From your original estimate to your
final. That would be good.
So, from a processes point of view, so if you we'll go through this and add some comments, and then you'll send out another draft and we'll comment on that, and then I have no problem doing this part if you want.
Yeah, that'd be
take
great.
Take a first
and then we can
shot
just
at it.
Take a shot at it,
next
and we
meeting.
Can we can you know plug it into
right
place.
Just say, hey, use form A for.
Yeah.
I think maybe we could just add like another thing below here with funding.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, and, well, like our category or funding.
Like suggested.
In that.
Yeah. So like for here, it would say, all right, construction building. This is how much it's going to cost, and then underneath it would be broken out by funding. So it
a different.
Be,
like another chart level, not just
chart.
A distribute.
Yeah,
okay.
Underneath. Yep. And so you can have bonding, town contribution, like from the budget, grants.
Yep.
And then you could say, like, okay, the town's going to contribute 500,000, we're going to bond 1,000,000, and the rest is going to be covered by 500,000 grants. I have one that I could send to you.
To you?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
And then I don't have to recreate this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Great.
That's a PDF.
And you're looking at like a 7-year CIP here.
So I was at putting that in here for us to talk about and decide.
Well, it'd be smart to be more than 5 years.
Yeah, I think it was Farmington that had the 7-year.
Yeah, Granby does a 10-year.
And Granby does a 10-year, so we should just figure out what we want to recommend.
I think 5 years is honestly good. 10 starts to get like a little just, you're estimating too much. Yeah.
5-year, you said. That's what we've always done, is a 5-year.
My only concern with 5 is if we're still discussing every 2-year bonding. I feel like that doesn't get you quite out far. Like, so that the 7 would get you past three sets of bonding, potential bondings. And with the note in your head, like, that after 5 years, how accurate is it?
Yeah.
Let's get back to the two-year bonding, because, mm-hmm. you know, I put in my email there last week. I'm not sold on every 2 years, mm-hmm. but I would want to put something in our final report to say that we should bond on a regular basis to be able to keep the percentage of indebtedness, the ratio to the budget,
at a steady level.
Yeah, a consistent level. Maybe it'll be 3 years. Maybe it'll be 2.5 years. Maybe it'll be 2 years.
Yeah, no, so, I'm totally fine with putting it that way.
Yeah.
I think we should give it a, you know, say, you know, we estimate that this will be in a range of every two to three years.
Yeah.
I can go with that. You know, with the goal of maintaining a, you know, steady debt to budget ratio of no more than X. And I think when we look at that, you know, we had told the bond consultant, like, you know, maybe 4.5. Mm-hmm. Looking at other towns, that's low. Mm-hmm. And so I think we could say, you know, no more than 5.
Yeah.
But, you know, sort of aiming for 4.5, but it is going to go up and down a little bit over
right.
time, because the bond, you know, bonds are going to mature at slightly different times, and even if you're aiming for a target,
yeah.
it's going to fluctuate a little bit. So kind of a, you know, of approximately 4.5, but never more than 5, or something like that.
Yep. A window. I agree with that, and I agree that with Bill too. Like, there's no reason to lock it in at every 2 years. But I think we should. Could we do something like every 2 years we
consider it?
My concern is that we get this form right, and like all of a sudden everything's getting shifted to bonding because our budget keeps getting cut.
We're just like, goody.
Yeah, great. We'll just throw it in bonding, and then we get to 2 years out, and we're like, we have $10 million that we need this year.
Right.
It's like almost we have to plan out.
Right.
Loosely, like in 2 years, we're going to look at our bond. Like every 2 years, we're going to look at a bonding package, whether that we're ready to go right now or maybe it's next year.
Maybe it's going to be pushed off a year.
But then in 2 more years after we do the bonding package, we look at, and I'm just using 2 years as a number.
Right.
Every 2 years, we look at it to make sure that we clear out some of this backlog.
Yeah.
Or else the backlog will just build and build and build.
Right.
And we'll end up in the same point we're at right now, where we have deferred maintenance that's more than we can handle.
Again, I would be comfortable in saying 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
Approximately 2 to 3 years would be.
For the bonding.
Right.
I'm just saying, I think every set date, we should review the bonding.
Like when we're talking about the CIP committee and what it's doing, you know, one of their tasks can be, you know, every other year they'll review where we are with bonding and to make a recommendation about whether bonding should be done that year or
the following
could be put off a year.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, I hesitate that stuff gets kicked down the road.
Right.
Too far because
and I think in terms of the like everybody cramming everything into bonding, that if you know, this policy is saying, you know, bonding is treated as a last resort.
Right.
Like we should always be trying to fund
pay as we go,
reserve,
state or federal, you know,
grants
and state bonding, you know, any of these other things we look to before we go, before something gets put in bonding, and it can only go in bonding if it meets the criteria for age of, you know, life of the project,
longevity.
And the other thing is, you know, choosing towns have. Some towns have at least 100,000. Some have at least 250,000 as the minimum amount of the project to go into bonding, but then they say that the actual bond issuance is a minimum of $1 million. because that's what makes it work.
So we can pool.
Several projects in to get to that.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of what we did with the firehouse and the two bridges.
Right. Right. So that's in here, wherever it is, that you have these.
So we're not going to do a separate bonding plan. We can just do it all in one.
So no, I was thinking. That the Board of Finance would actually develop a debt policy.
Okay.
Right. That's more specifically about, it's getting into more kind of more details about debt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is really broad, like this is shorter but broader because it's about all capital spending, and it's saying it's sort of creating rules that all the boards are following in order to, you know, and that the CIP committee will be guided by, if that makes sense. Like, this is all capital spending. How do we think about it? Which of these four categories does it fit into? And then the more specific aspects of the debt policy will be, and also, like, you know, Board of Finance needs to come up with a whatchamacallit?
Fund balance policy? Fund balance
policy? Yes, thank you. That's exactly. I always have to go through this weird thing in my brain to get to the term fund balance. I don't know why that is, but it didn't happen that time. The little gears didn't turn. I think that setting a debt service range here and saying that CIP committee will review bonding every 2 years, but doesn't need to necessarily do it every 2 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's not necessary to write that we're going to go to bond every 2 years, because eventually we're not going to have to go. Every 2 years, so, and then we would have to change the policy.
Right.
So
better just to say that we'll review bonding every 2 years and make a decision about whether it's, you know, needed then or would be better put off a year or whatever.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Let's see. So what do we do with all these different drafts, and how do we combine all this stuff to make this a final report? I guess is my next.
So I think Russell and I have got that kind of down, because he's going to give me a form.
I'll put a draft of the form together, email it out, kind of like you did, Bill, with your first draft here. Yeah. Katie's going to update.
I'm going to update. I've been taking notes as we talked and get this thing updated, and I can send that back out to all of you, and if I've missed something or we want to add more, whatever, and we can treat your form as an appendix, but I'll refer to it here.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, because I'd like to be able to probably have one more meeting here and then kind of wrap this up and get this back to the Board of Selectmen.
Yep. I think we can do it.
I agree.
And that will work well with the bonding. Kind of the schedule for us doing the bond in the fall.
So is the Board of Finance going to meet soon?
So we meet, our next regular meeting is August 3rd, Monday in August.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our plan was to have drafts of the debt policy and the fund balance policy for that meeting, but not to actually vote on those two things until the September meeting.
Which I think would
But
be,
we could also
I don't think
if
either
this
of
ready,
those really affect
No, this the, doesn't affect that. Yes. I think Board of Finance should also consider, like,
see
you
that.
Know, at least take a look at this.
So you want to meet before that meeting?
Yeah.
And we can wrap it all up. Board of Finance can get it. That'd be before the Board of Ed meeting, before the
so
Board of
So I'm back. I get back on the 10th. So we could meet in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Although I won't I can get a.
What would be the Thursday of that week?
Today's the 31st, the 14th.
14th.
And I am free at 10 o'clock.
And we're having a special the 13th for the BOS.
Oh, okay. So that's our only meeting for August, right?
No, that's Kevin's calling a special for the 13th. There's just going to be some discussion about potential questions being put on the ballot.
For the bond.
For the bonding, yeah. Okay. So it'll be potentially four questions, bonding questions for the referendum. So that'll be on the 13th. We haven't noticed.
But that's
anything.
Still trying to get the bonding stuff on the election day?
So yeah, everything is still, I'm talking to the attorney. I just got a letter from him. He's looking into the time frame issue. Right. So the way it would work is on the 13th, the Board of Selectmen may, I haven't set the agenda yet, but they may discuss what the questions are going to look like. They're relatively rudimentary. No dollars on it. Yeah, that has to be determined later. That would get sent to the Board of Finance for approval and to send it to a special town meeting, which we would set the date, time, and place. More likely than not would be September 10th. That would be the first BOS meeting in September. There's a regular session of the Board of Selectmen August, I think it's 28th.
Okay.
So we are super duper tight.
Yeah, that sounds, I hate to say it, but that sounds insane to me.
Look at it from this angle. I'm not even 100% certain, so I told Kevin I will flesh out what the timeline is. So our attorney just got back to me now. I was in another meeting, sorry, that I ended up having it double booked so we don't end up in litigation. He's looking, and I suggested to him, Bob might have had a conversation with him, so he's going to check his emails. He said there was a lot of discussion about early voting and the time frames for the town meeting last year. Mm-hmm. I poured through the charter. I can't find anything. Right. I even looked into the general statutes. I didn't see anything. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but nothing jumped out. That's why I'm hoping there was discussion. And if we spent money on some investigation, there's something somewhere that it would show up. So he's going to take a look and see if there are emails. As I said, I highly doubt Bob would have said something that wasn't true.
Right.
So it's concerning to me. It does say, last one comment, your proposed schedule, I put together a proposed schedule, is that the deadline for the legislative body to take action to put something on the November ballot is earlier than September 10th. I just got this. I have to back those dates down. I don't know if that's going to require us to have a special meeting. I have time to arrange it. I just need to know what date.
Right, but we, in order to have a special town meeting, we would have to have the language of the bond that was going to go on the ballot ready.
I actually have that.
Sure, but we have to have the
amounts. But I have
the
numbers. Correct. And you guys have to approve everything.
Right.
And this is just a timeline where it could happen should everybody be in complete agreement.
Right. That seems just insane to me. I'm sorry. I don't want to be
Because there's the Board of Finance meeting in August, and there's not another one until after.
Until
Correct.
After.
But you would have to have, let's say
so
everyone
was
in agreement.
So you have to have all of the estimates and numbers for this bond package before the Board of Finance meeting.
Correct.
And we would have to agree to them at that meeting, seeing them then for the first time.
With the dollar amounts.
With the dollar amounts.
And without you having your
and
debt service
And without us
level.
Having our, past our debt service, debt policy or any of this other stuff. I personally would find it inadvisable.
Correct. So there are two sides to that coin. Is one, can you legally do it with the time that we have? I have to answer that question first, because if it's a no, then I'm not worried
about
everything.
Right.
So the first question I need to answer is, can you legally do it? Then if the answer is yes, what would those time frames look like?
Right.
So if I have the time frames down, it's like, listen, you can get this accomplished by having special meetings or even emergency meetings. You could theoretically do it. Then the other side of the coin now is,
should you do it?
Should you do it, or is everyone in agreement? If it tanks at any one of those meetings, right, whether it's at the Board of Finance or the special town meeting, then you're the same result. It's not ending up at on the ballot.
Right.
I have a question. Why does it need to go on the November ballot?
It doesn't.
There's no requirement.
It can be a referendum at any time.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Correct.
Originally, we were thinking maybe beginning of December or something like that.
Yeah, and I personally don't even think there's an advantage to putting it on the November ballot. I personally think there's a disadvantage, but that's me.
For the decision-making process, my opinion would be take your time, slow and steady wins the race. Take your time, ferret out all the issues.
And also let the public feel as if they've had a chance to know what's going on, have had a chance to weigh in before
I think that's extremely important.
The projects are chosen, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't want this to be rammed down.
Yeah, the only downside is you're going to spend a little bit more money
for the voting process, a modest amount of money to hold a referendum on one day. It's really, you know, it's a couple thousand bucks. It's just not, I think, worth the, you know, the downsides of trying to get it on. But that's, you know.
I agree.
Yeah. So I should have an idea as to whether we legally can do it by this afternoon or maybe tomorrow. And I'll let everybody know what they come back is, because I gotta let Kevin know and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So well, it's you, there's no sense in spinning our wheels on this if we legally cannot do it. And it's like, well.
But if you would, I mean, if you see Kevin before we do, which is likely, I mean, I think if we're in agreement that it's not a great idea to try to ram it in fast.
We've already talked about time frames.
Well, you could share with him that this committee has that view.
Absolutely. I may have already mentioned that, but I certainly can say it again.
Yeah.
If, as I said, the whole thought was, if we legally can't, like I said,
then there's I don't know why Bob would say that. Right.
I'm sure he did his due diligence.
Right.
And it's just I can't find any documentation.
Right. And it may have been because we had already gotten further into the fall by the time he was looking at it, and at that point there was something about when the special town meeting had to be held by that didn't work anymore. So it
Correct.
May have been something about
it might have been different dates,
right.
But because dates do seem to come into play, and I have no schematic of what that looks like, regardless of how it comes into play, certainly.
Well, I thought the big problem here was because of the early voting.
The timing
of the early voting.
That's how it is, but there's nothing in our charter that talks about the time frame. The only mention of it is 28 days.
Right.
But that's if it's through a petition process.
Right.
The only time frame I can see is there has to be 28 days within a special town meeting from a petition as opposed to when a vote is. But it doesn't talk about a general election. It doesn't talk about anything that's not a petition.
Got it.
As opposed to the Board of Selectmen just going through a normal process, sending it up the food chain.
Right.
You know, kind of that back and forth between the BOS and BOF.
Yeah.
If that's within a time frame, fine. But I just want to make sure that we have it for next year. And that could go in our policy, too.
Yeah. No, I could see how. Right. I could see how the issue would be the complication of the of maybe he was looking at that 28 days. Mm-hmm. And how long ahead of time the ballots have to be printed.
And that's kind of
with early voting.
So the time frame is in there. It's the questions have to be to the state from the town clerk on Friday, September 19th. That's right. The cutoff. So if you're using September 19th, and you have to have, say, even the 30 days was the number, then theoretically, if we had a special town meeting August 10th, and then the vote was yes on the 11th, we could submit those questions. Because, as I said, the questions are relatively simple.
Right.
If we had the numbers, let's say there was no issue with the numbers. We're all in agreement.
Is it at least 30 days or is it within 30 days?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that. I do know the questions have to be to the state before September 19th. Yeah. So, say for example, there is something that says you have to have a special town meeting within 30 days of developing the question, and I was within 30 days from that last, on the cutoff date, but I can't find a rule anywhere.
Right.
No rule.
What Bob told us was that it was how close the special town meeting had to be to the referendum itself.
Yeah.
And that it had to be within X days of the referendum. Like, not more than essentially X days of the from the town meeting to the referendum.
And that's when the early voting came
in. And that's how early voting made a problem, because it meant that you know, if early voting starts here and the ballots have to be printed by here, you couldn't get the special town meeting in the middle to make the decision about whether or not to do it and have it within the X days of the referendum being held, because you know what I get.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's what I was going with. I'm like, it's got to be in there because it does make sense, but I just can't find the rule. I just want the rule to look at. Yeah.
Where did he come up with that?
And if Bob was unable to ascertain the rule himself, then had to go to Rich, which makes sense because I'm doing the same thing. I can't figure it out based upon the authorities that I have access to.
Exactly.
Then you have to go.
In theory, have notes from that conversation.
Correct. Right. So
I could also look at a bunch of other towns who bonded and looked at when they had the referendum and when they had the meeting.
And that's why I think we were looking at, there was Newington's referendum that we were using as a model, even for the questions.
Yeah.
So they were able to do it within that time frame because obviously they got the questions to the referendum. I just didn't know, was their charter different? If it's charter language, if it's not charter language, then is it state statute?
Yeah.
So that's where I need Rich to weigh in on that. He did suggest that we do send the questions. He can review them, because I wanted him to potentially review them as to form.
Right.
But his question, or his statement was, send them to the bonding agent, like you and I talked about.
Right. Yeah, bond council.
I can review them, but you probably will want to have the town's bond council approve them as well, since they have to sign the opinion letters.
Right.
So we'll just put them together and send them to Lori Hall or
Attorney. Do you have access to Bob's emails? Do you go through them?
I don't.
Interesting.
So,
because I think that Bob sent her questions at one point and she okayed them and sent them back.
Okay. They would have had to for the firehouse.
Yeah.
All right. But she might have those too. Were you able to reach out to her?
1 year ago, because I can see 1 year's back of the prior finance director's emails, and he was CC'd on some communication between Bob and Lori Hall.
Okay.
So you should be able to get that from your IT guy. If you use Outlook,
Yeah.
You could just get them to drop a subfolder in.
Oh, no, I get the process. It's whether our system holds on to that stuff.
I'll talk to
John. I had them for a little while ago.
Yep.
And now I don't have them anymore. Gotcha. So maybe I can access them. So, but I can dive into that. We will get the answer to the question one way or another. I've got legal counsel, two of them, and potentially access to Bob's emails. Yeah. But things might have changed, so I would rather have a fresh opinion.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess still just hammering on this thing. I mean, we got that nice spreadsheet, thank you, from our bond consultant that was giving us a, you know, sort of rough idea of if you were bonding, approximately every 2 years, and trying to keep debt service at this level, what would it look like? And it was looking like, you know, he put it in at 3.75 and then 4 and then 4. Those are not the kinds of numbers that Kevin was talking about at our meeting before last, even ballpark. He's talking 6 at that meeting. I don't know what he...
So I think 6 could get approved. Like, say 6 did get approved. And then we could do 3 and 3. 3 the first year, and then 3 again in 2 years.
Potentially, yep. But is that what he's looking for? Or is he looking for these projects? I mean...
I have no answer to that.
In that case, then the discussion needs, I would think that you'd have a discussion about that and talk about it as two separate bonding things separated by 2 years and talk about the priority for each, you know, what goes in the first package, what goes in the second package, and make...
And we would really need the full, our new CIP plan.
Right, and make hard decisions about which things go first.
So you've got potentially 4 questions.
Yeah.
There's 4 projects. 2 are simple. The SBA, SCBA equipment, that's a fixed static number.
Yeah.
That's relatively easy. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I think it's slightly south of 400,000, maybe 368. Then you have the school roof. Mm-hmm. Which I think is slightly north of 600,000, maybe 670. That's a quote, estimate, whatever it is, that's a relatively solid number. Now you've got 2 other projects. Roads, I think the road, the pavement management, or whatever it's being called, is there's a handful of roads. We've got estimates on what it will cost. I think that's relatively solid.
We're looking at about a million.
Yeah, that's relatively solid. The only thing that's somewhat in flux is the Mills Rec project. We're still having discussions about that. I think we've got 1 more meeting. Kevin is making some decisions on how he wants to present this to the Board of Selectmen, so I don't want to wade into the middle of that. He's going to present whatever he presents. There is a smaller number, because these are things that we knew we needed to do. Fix the pool, fix
the tennis courts,
yeah. And fix the basketball courts. Mm. Now, there's a low number on fixing it one way, and then there's a higher number on fixing it a certain way. There's been several different permutations of what this project looks like, and they all go up in price. Mm. So it's really up for a discussion between the two boards on what you want out of that. Do you walk it all the way back down to the lowest number, or do you move up to the highest number on there? I'll let other people figure that out. Would that be in the number we discuss? Possibly. Could it be higher? It might. Depends on what you all pick.
Several years ago, I know we just did a Park and Rec master plan. I'm hoping somebody's looking at that plan and coming up with all these ideas and stuff.
So, a little bit out of my experience on what that master plan looked like, it's a little bit older. I think, I don't know if on it they have a change in the structure of the pool.
Yeah.
So we all know that the pool is an Olympic-sized pool. It's a square box. Since then, Kate and I talked about it one time, there's been a kind of maybe a a change in philosophy on how to design these pools.
Yeah, this whole thing is just like coming out of left field.
Yeah, and I mean, do I think it's appropriate to discuss it since you're gonna do something? Maybe. Because options are options. You don't have to choose them. But if someone said, listen, you know, if you buy a Chevy every year, and you've always bought a Chevy, and you're thinking about going and buying a Chevy, there's other types of vehicles out there you may want to take a look at first before you invest in that Chevy. Then you drive them around a little bit. Maybe you go back to the Chevy. I don't know. But, you know, Taryn's giving input onto what potentially that pool structure should look like. And it has changed a little bit. The number of corks have changed because there's been a discussion of usage. Maybe it does make sense. Do we need two basketball courts? I don't know. I drive by the basketball courts.
I hardly ever seen anybody play.
There's hardly anybody on there. And there's
you're saying we might have like five tennis courts instead of four?
No, I don't think you're going to see five tennis courts. But I mean, one idea, I think I walked out, but one idea is, and it makes sense to me from my experience at parks shooting hoops, is oftentimes if I go by myself to practice, I don't need a full court.
Right.
I just need a hoop. So you have something that's a little bit different. Maybe we put up several hoops, but you don't need a full court. That might be. So there's all these different nuances
Two basketball courts now, right?
Two basketball courts right now. And those are expensive, and they have to be a certain size.
Right.
So is there a better way of doing that? And that's what I think the discussions will be about. Some of it does make sense to me. So if you can get better for cheaper on having a change in what that court looks like.
Right. Well, I know the other thing Taryn had talked to us about when we were going through CIP this year was doing a whole bunch of the sidewalks and curbing and ADA improvements and everything in the park.
That's going to jack the price up,
So.
Yeah, we did take a look at that. So any work that you do there, I think we came up with numbers, but there's impacts.
Right.
So we talked about new pool and new courts, but then getting it into the discussion was, well, then you're going to have vehicles driving through. They potentially might damage the roads even more. So what do you do? There might be some irrigation, but drainage issues in play. So fill for some of these things I didn't even think about. So that does add to the numbers. So.
And do we, in fact, have $300,000 from state bonding that is going toward this?
I think that is correct.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that, but I do recall the discussion was when we engage in this, we've got that there.
Okay.
But until I see it,
right?
You know, we get promised things, and
you gotta stay on that.
Yeah, I would say we go into it thinking we're gonna bond the whole amount, but if we do get some money, then that's the bonus.
Yeah, it's just free money.
And that's one of the things that they do talk about. I may have put it in here or not, but they talk about in some of the other towns things is that when you're thinking about this, you bond for the full amount. If you get state money, you use that money either to help pay for the costs that you incur before the bonds are issued and usable, because they're often kind of upfront costs, or you use it to help pay the debt service.
To pay it off.
But you actually bond for the full amount of the project.
And that's the way I would do it. I think we discussed that.
Yeah,
and I mean, that even works with just our regular budget. We rely on promised money, and sometimes that doesn't show up. So I would prefer we have a dollar amount, and that's what we're going with.
Yeah.
And if the found money comes into play through grants or what have you, then that goes towards bond service or, you know, whatever makes sense,
right.
Whatever the governing bodies decide to do with it. So,
all right, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Did you? I'm sorry, I came late because, like I said, yep. There's a litigation issue. Did you guys get to take a look at the New Britain package?
Yes. Yeah. Katie kind of redid it in our and her
okay,
format,
I'll look
and
at
then
what you
that
submitted.
Form that you had on the backside
yep.
of that New Britain thing was great. So he's got a digital copy. So
and a similar. Yeah.
Katie's gonna update this with our notes from today, recirculate it. So he's going to get me the form. I'll do some tweaks to that, circulate it, and then hopefully in 2 weeks we have the draft policy and the form ready to go.
Fantastic. Let me just, if you got 1 second, I meant to bring this in, but I forgot. I think you guys were talking about this at one time. Mm-hmm. So just going through like what we've done in the past, because I'm redoing some things. So this was, I think you talked about this one time. This is where on these big giant things, right. Mm-hmm. Keeping our CIP data. So what I would do is kind of use something like this, however, put it in the form that New Britain has, so it doesn't require a big giant form like this. So we were tracking data. Similar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah. I think we were almost there.
Yeah, we were almost there. So if you guys like that, that's what we'll do. Cool. All right.
All right. Let's see. Do we have anything else to discuss, or are we ready to adjourn here?
I think we're good.
I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And the meeting is adjourned at we'll call it 11:00.
Good. Yeah.